You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
And today, we have just a really special guest speaker. And so we're going to do it a little different than a normal sermon. I'm going to just have my friend Jeffrey Nwanko come up, and we'll just briefly talk about how we met in Nashville, and then he's got a message prepared that he's going to share. And then at the end of it, we're going to have a bit of an interactive time where we're going to talk about the practical application of what he was sharing. So can you please welcome from Nashville, Tennessee, via Lagos, Nigeria, Jeffrey Nwanko. So before I let you preach, my friend, first time in Canada, right? So
yes.
Yeah, so what are your first impressions of Canada so far?
It's really a very great country. Yesterday I was at the CN Tower. It's incredible seeing the city from that view. And coming in here, seeing a lot of people with great stories, I've really, really am very impressed.
Yeah, so we met, for those of you who don't know, Sheila and I spent 14 years in the United States. Sheila and I are both Canadian, but we did spend time there at our church, Bethel World Outreach Church, and that's where Jeffrey and I got to know one another. He's a petroleum engineer. His wife is a doctor. She has her own clinic that she started. He started his own oil company. But both of them just love preaching the gospel, mm-hmm. and so and making disciples, whether it's here or back in his home country. You're going to hear a little bit about that. But why would I want this guy to preach to us today? Once in a while, he preaches on Facebook, and he'll just get inspired. And I heard this message, and I thought it was so unique, and I thought it was so fit. Toronto. He shared this message called Guided Journeys, Following God's Will in Immigration and Relocation. And I've never heard anybody, and I've been a pastor a long time, I've never heard anybody pull out the Bible and preach from the Bible on this topic. And so I thought, hey, you got to come to Toronto. You got it. And he said, yes. And so here he is. So I'm going to let you have the podium and share what you have. And then on the last point, when we get into the application, I'm going to join you again and just have a couple more questions of how we might apply this to our own lives. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Thank you, Pastor Barrett. Well, like Pastor Barrett said, my name is Jeffrey Nwanko, and I met Pastor Bird and his wife Sheila in Nashville. I've lived in Nashville for 30 years, even though the accent is still Nigerian. I want to thank you, Pastor Bird and Sheila, for giving me this opportunity to speak. But most importantly, when Pastor Bert told me he was going to go back to Canada, here is a guy, you know, doing well in Nashville. Why would he move? I honestly didn't understand why would he uproot his family and himself and move. But I was just watching. They left, and about a year later, God starts moving in my own heart. And the step they took helped me to take also that step of faith. So thank you, Pastor Barrett. Today I'm going to be addressing the issue of guided journeys, listening to God. asking God to lead and guide. Very important. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for the privilege you have given us. As we look at your word, may you open our eyes. May you bring understanding. May you transform our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be talking about guided journeys, following God's will when it comes to immigration and relocation. You're going to be listening, and we're going to be looking at Bible characters that God intervened in their lives, spoke to them, they heard, they took steps of faith, and the result we would see. The first person we are going to be looking at is Abram. Abram was doing very well in his country, had no need to go somewhere else. However, God intervened in his life. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Go thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So what did Abraham do? He said, So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and the Lord went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abraham left to go somewhere else because he understood that God has a plan and purpose for his life. Everything we are going to be talking today is dependent that you understand that God has a purpose for your life and uniquely designed. Abraham, when God told him to go, he decided to go. He believed God. And this is what he says, that Abraham, go, and I will make you a blessing. I will bless you. It didn't stop there. Oftentimes, when we ask for blessings, the focus is on ourselves. God, make provision for me to buy a car. Make provision for me to buy a house. Nothing is wrong with that. But look at what God said. He said, I will bless you. The essence is so that you will be a blessing. That is the purpose. And Abraham understood that. So it's important for us to know that when God asks you to leave wherever you are to go somewhere else, it's because he has a better plan. He said, I know the plan I have for you. It is a plan that is good. It's a plan to bring you to where you should be. So when God is asking you to move, like he asked Pastor Bert or he asked Abram, it's important that we listen, because he knows more than you do. You know, when the Bible says that the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In the village I grew up in Nigeria, we have a tiny lamp. The lamp only gives very little light, you can only see maybe a foot or 2 feet ahead of you. And the Bible says the Word of God is a lamp. It gives you understanding of what the next step you need to take. But it's also a light. If you go on the street, you see the street light, you may not see all the details, right? But it's giving you, this is the direction you should be going. But it gives you more detail on the little steps you're going to take. And that's what we see here in the life of Abraham, or Abram at the time. So he obeys God, and God blesses him. God's blessings are independent of where you are. Did you hear that? God's blessings are not location dependent. What brings God's blessing is obedience. When you obey God, that attracts his blessings. We should not make decisions based on what we feel, what other people are doing, how the economy is going. Abraham could have said, you know, I'm doing well where I am. Why do I need to move? The economy of where you're asking me to go doesn't look good. But he knew better. He obeyed. Obedience is what activates promises. Obedience is what activates promises. The next person we're going to look at is Abram's son. So he stays in this new country and he has his son after so many years, Isaac. And in this new country that Isaac is in, there was a problem. The economy wasn't doing well. And I bet you a lot of people were leaving the country. They were immigrating. They were going somewhere else. Most likely, like what we're going to read here, they were going to Egypt. And again, God intervenes in the life of Isaac. And look at what he says in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to 6. Now there was famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I'll be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offsprings all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commandments, my decrees, and my instructions. So Isaac stayed in the country where he lived. So do we see obedience is what is very important. And what God is telling one person does not necessarily mean that's what he's going to tell you. Because God's purpose and callings are specific. They are specific. It's important that the Christian understands how God speaks to him. Any of these Bible characters would have missed these calls if they didn't understand how God spoke to them. Any of them, if they thought they could be anything anywhere, wouldn't be concerned to what is God asking me to do? The famine is here. What should I do? But because they knew how God spoke to them and were in lordship, they are not living for themselves. They are living lives that are given to God. And that's why they were interested to find out, what is God asking me to do in this situation? So Isaac stayed. And what happened? It's famine. People are moving. People are going to Egypt because he looked better in Egypt. And God is telling him, don't follow them. Don't do what everybody is doing. I have a plan and I have purpose for you. Stay where you are. When he obeyed, look at what he says in verse 12. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Can you believe that? What a change, what a transformation. Here, the economy is bad, it is famine, people are leaving the country, and God says, don't go anywhere. And he listens and stays and receives 100% result. I'm a businessman. When I invest money and I have a rate of return of 100%, that's a very good place to be in. Right? So, that is the benefit of listening and doing what God is asking you to do. Prosperity doesn't always require relocation. All it requires is obedience. Prosperity does not require that you need to live where you are. All it needs is obey. What is God asking you to do? For Abraham, he said, go. For Isaac, he said, stay. Both obeyed and both were blessed. So you see the uniqueness of the call of God in our lives. Very important. Do not base your moves on how the economy is. If things are bad and everybody is moving, I move. No. Ask God, what do I do? How do I handle this situation? And whatever God tells you, it may be scary, but take a step of faith and he will meet you. The next character we're going to look at is Jacob. So Jacob had issues with his brother, and out of fear, he said, you know, I'm going to go. And then the parents prayed for him, and he left the country and went to his uncle's house. But God intervened in his life, helped him, even though he went there initially out of fear, but God began to work in his life, and he had issues. Because God is asking you to go somewhere doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. Does that make sense? Do not evaluate God's will on how things are going well or how things are going bad. That which you have heard from God, hold on to it. No matter how things are, hold on to that. Don't evaluate it, you know, things are really bad. Maybe I didn't hear from God. We see Jacob, he had all kinds of problems with his uncle. They deceived him. He was going to marry Rachel, and he wakes up and it's somebody else. And the uncle says, you know, if you want her, 7 more years. And he does that. And several times the uncle cheated him on what he was supposed to receive. But God kept him. God was on his side and continued to bless him. Eventually, he's told, you have had enough time here. You need to go back to your country. It's important to be open to what God is asking, to be open to what God is telling you. God may bring you somewhere for a season, and that's the situation we see with Jacob. Remember, Abraham, God asked him to go somewhere else. Isaac, he asked to stay, and Jacob is doing both. He went to another country, served his uncle, and now God is saying, go back. And he obeys. If you hold on to your position, thinking that this is the only way and how God is going to do it, you may enter a season of disobedience. So it's important that we continue to listen to God, continue to make sure that you are in fellowship with Him, so that any change, you're sensitive to it and you would know what He is asking you to do. So that's why, hold on your immigration. If, for instance, you're in Canada and God is asking you to go somewhere else, you obey. Or you are here and God is asking you to stay, you obey. Wherever you are, it's important that you are relevant there. You know, you may have this mindset, oh, God may be asking me to leave Canada, and you're not engaged because you're waiting for where you're going to go. No. You have to, wherever you are, be relevant there. You're here in Canada. How are you hooked into what is going on here? You're getting educated. If you're working, you're making investments, you're buying house, you're doing all the things that will make you be a relevant person and contributing to the economy of where you are. It's very, very important. So we have seen three characters. Abram, God asked to go. Jacob, Isaac, God asked to stay. Jacob, God asked go and return. And in all these situations, they were blessed. The next characters we're going to look is a man called Elimelech and his wife Naomi. We see in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, their story. So the economy wasn't good. Again, there was famine. And this man and his wife, they decided to leave because of the state of the economy. We didn't read anywhere God asking them to go. We didn't see anywhere that, oh, they left because God said, go to Moab. No, that's not what we read here. Rather, because of the famine, they took a step of fear and self-preservation, and they suffered a lot of loss. He gets there, and we read that he died. After his death, his two sons also died. What a tragedy. And his wife, Naomi, she begins to think about what's going on with her. I came here full. I came with my husband, my two sons, and now I've lost my husband and I've lost my two sons. What am I going to do? She decides, I think I'm going to go back. I've misstepped. I'm going to go back, because he says that she heard that God had visited his people. So So it's like, what am I doing here? I need to go back and participate in this that God is doing. And one of the daughter-in-laws, Ruth, says, I'm going to go with you. And she couldn't understand, why would you want to go with me? I don't have any other son that could marry you. So it will be a waste of your life if you go with me. The other daughter-in-law initially said, I'm going to go with you. But later, it was obvious to her, it will not make any sense. But Ruth held on and said, I'm going to take a step of faith. I don't know what it is that is out there for me, but I'm going to go with you. We read that she goes back with her daughter-in-law. And God shows up. It doesn't matter even when we have made mistakes. Thank God that God always gives us second chances, doesn't he? God gives us second chances. And here is Naomi. She came back crying. She said, actually, you don't need to call me anymore my name, because I went out full and I'm back empty. My name doesn't conform with my experience. But God had better things. When we make mistakes and turn to him, he will always, always, you know, come to our aid. And that's what we see here. God's mercy met her. And her daughter-in-law that took a step of faith gets married to Boaz, one of the husband's relatives, and gets adopted into the lineage of David. And if you trace the lineage of Jesus, he came through the son that Ruth had with Boaz. Unbelievable that we see a contrast here. Naomi stepped out in fear, loses so much, turns back, steps out that God, since you have blessed your people, I could participate in that blessing. And Ruth follows her in faith, and God blesses her tremendously. We must be people who are open. Even if you have made mistake, turn to God. He will always give us second chances. Now, on the last Bible characters that we're going to look at is Nehemiah and Ezra. I don't know how I'm doing with my time. Okay, thank you. So, we see Nehemiah and Ezra. They were part of people that the Babylonians had sacked from Israel. And these two were serving the kings that employed them. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, Ezra a scribe. And both of them were concerned about what was going on in the country that they originally were from. And they were praying. They were fasting. And God met those desires that they had through these kings who were not godly. It's important to know that for God to work, God uses righteous people. And God uses unrighteous people. What did I say? God is not limited by who the person is. Imagine God moving in the heart of these kings who were not godly men. That's why the scripture says that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, and he moves their heart to do the things he wants them to do. And through the work of Nehemiah, the nation of Israel, they are reestablished. And through the work of Ezra, the knowledge of God and his word is propagated more amongst his people. So there is a renewal of and a revival of worship, and also a renewal of national identity for the people of Israel. You see the difference that is made through obedience. And when we look up to God, when we are not doing things out of fear, Nehemiah and Ezra, they were praying, they were fasting, and God shows up in their lives, uses their positions and the experiences they've had where they were to be a blessing. And I'm going to move on to myself to see how this played out in my life. So I moved to Nashville 30 years ago. I wish I know now what I knew then. But they say hindsight is 20/20, right? So I moved from Nigeria to Nashville. I wasn't like Nehemiah and Ezra who were praying and fasting and asking God, what should I do? I moved more like Elimelech and Naomi. I felt, things are not going too well for me in Nigeria. We had some medical issues. Let's go to America and we have issues resolved. And growing up in Nigeria, when I was in college, there was a lot of movement that was called faith teaching. We had a preacher called Kenneth Hagin in our school. We believe that you can have faith, and the faith was more focused on yourself. Faith to buy things, faith to get a job. Nothing is wrong with any of this. And that was the kind of Christianity I was practicing. So I come to Nashville, was living in Nashville for quite some time. And then we moved to Franklin, and I was looking for a church. And someone told me, there's a church in Granite White Pike. I think that it will be a good fit for you. So I go there on a Wednesday. I walk in there. And the first thing I heard that day was, it's not about you. So I was like, what are these guys saying? And it was a multi-ethnic church. I went back, I told my wife, I said, I don't think these guys are real. And my wife is like, why? I said, I don't know. She said, let's go back. So we went back, and I found out that really, they were real. Remember the kind of Christianity I was practicing? I was born again, and I was expressing faith for personal needs. But here, the church was challenging us. As a Christian, there is purpose. God has a plan for you. What is that plan? What are you doing with the skills you have? What are you doing with the financial blessings he has given you? What are you doing? It's not about you. It's about extending his kingdom. And then we began to look at our own lives, and we saw that we were not doing that. First, my wife took a step of faith and started her medical practice. Then from there, I also, we were going to Nigeria on a regular basis, and we did something. We built a home for someone, and we were shocked the impact of just spending a little amount of money, the impact it had on that woman and the family. And I came back to Nashville, I'm like, if this little amount of money could do this, what if we could do this on a regular basis? And it was obvious if I remained in my employment, I couldn't do that on a regular basis. And I was convinced to take a step of faith, which I did, and started my own company. And that step of faith has taught me and continues to teach me what it means to trust God. God is always faithful. Always faithful, never fails. It doesn't matter how it looks. Nigeria is a very challenging place to do business. There's a lot of corruption, and we come in there and we say, we will not participate in this. We'll be ethical. We are not going to cut corners. We're going to build a sound business that is based on ethics, on godliness, on righteous living. You will think that we will not be successful. But God shows up. I go to places, I will make presentations where other people will come and they will expect you to give them some money. We go there, make presentations. And for obvious reasons, that it's God that will touch their hearts. Again, not righteous people. Not people who are righteous. They will give us work, and later on when I go to see them, they will say, I really don't know why. I don't know why we gave you this chance, but you're just lucky. It's important that we follow what God is asking us to do. Do not look at the challenges, because God is more than any challenge that you would ever face. Today, the business is employing so many people, is giving us opportunity to support much more than we could. Can you imagine if we stayed back? Because, well, I have a good job. I'm working in Nashville. We are good. We are fine. Why should I take another step? But when we are obedient, God always show up. And I see that in my life. I see that in my business. And I will challenge us today, because each and every one of us is uniquely designed. God has a purpose for your life. The question is, do you know what that purpose is? And how are you willing to obey what God may be asking you to do? The challenge that your life will solve because you're obedient. God may be asking you to stay here, and your interest may be to go somewhere else. Be obedient to what he's asking you to do. He may be asking you to go somewhere else and your interest is staying. Be obedient to what he is telling you. Where God sends you is more important than how good where you're going is. I hope that this would help us to make decisions that are decisions of faith and not decisions of fear. Thank you.
Okay, just that was great. So one of the things I wanted to just underscore is that whole idea of redemption. You know, you can come here, because I said, when I said this is a scary message. If everybody gets the word to go back to their home country, we won't have a church here anymore. So, like, this is like, you're not saying that, right? No. So, but I do believe that when you have, we're both the same age, you know, we have, you know, some experiences, and I just really wanted to expose Jeffrey to you, because I see a lot of young Jeffreys and Ukbangs right here. And I feel like it's inspiring. And one of the things, when Richard had mentioned that when he wrapped up the Hebrews series last week, that Hebrews also has to do with practical faith. Practical things, you know, not just spiritual things, but things that apply to real life, everyday life. And I know that you've prayed and you've supported. And, you know, one of the reasons why we're able to be here is because of this family. You know, a lot of you don't, none of you know that, but that's just the fact. And I'm grateful for the friendship, but also his steps of faith, you know, to start Alpha Oil Technologies, and all the great things that you've been able to do. But it hasn't been just in helping widows. I want you to share the story of how, as an engineer, you were able to bring practical change, because sometimes we think that, you know, in your business, or, you know, that you're supposed to make money and then, you know, give it to pastors and so that they can do good stuff, or give it to the poor or whatever. But there's also a way that through your profession you can affect real change in the world. So tell about how God spoke to you about the road, and then one good story here, and then we'll wrap up.
All right. So in Nigeria, there are many tribes, but there are three major tribes: the Igbos, the Yorubas, the Hausas. So I'm Igbo, so the eastern part of Nigeria. And you are always from a village. Unlike here in Canada, I think, if your parents were here and they gave birth to you in Toronto, you're from Toronto. But in Nigeria, it's not that way. If your parents are from Vancouver and they give birth to you in Toronto, you're still from Vancouver. That's how it is in Nigeria. So the village I come from, these guys, the people that had wealth, they use it to oppress the poor. And among themselves, they're fighting. They've been in court for 40 years. And they had this issue: we only have one road that is tarred. All the other roads are dirt roads. The government is so corrupt, they don't build infrastructure. So you have to do it yourself. And I told them, I said, I'm going to help build the road. When I did that, all these other rich guys, they've never done any such thing. Everyone is like, this guy, he doesn't brag that he has money, and look at what he's doing. He's using his money not to oppress others, and he's building this road. It brought unbelievable peace. The 40 years of court cases, they were reconciled. And by the way, all these money bags now have decided to build roads because of that.
So he basically, you know, as he was praying, Lord, what do you want me to do next? He said, I want you to build 2.5 kilometer road out of your own funds. And just obeyed as an engineer, said, okay, we're just going to do that. And he did it, and has brought transformation by just that obedience. And so that's just one little story of just, you know, how God wants to use each and every one of us in whatever area. It's important, you know, you're gifted to speak and things like that, but you're most gifted as an engineer. I mean, you're amazing. You're a good engineer. And because he's a good engineer, he was able to use that practically to both be a blessing in Nashville, Tennessee, and in Toronto, and in Nigeria. You know, so we don't know how each one of you are going to be used. That's not the point. This isn't a comparison. What it is God is asking us, I believe, to tap into the destiny that he has on each of our lives. And don't give up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you just pray for us, and then we'll move into our time of communion?
Lord, we just want to thank you for the privilege you've given us. We are not qualified, but you sought us and you brought us into this marvelous light. And you have a purpose and plan for every one of us. And you have filled us with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live this life. And so, Lord, every heart that is here and everyone that is hearing me, Lord, may you make it plain the plan and the purpose you have. And may faith arise in our hearts to be obedient. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.